Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
We are back.
Back in the mud.
Back in the mud. Again, we are here for episode 104,
yes.
Season 3. Episode 4 of 14,605 and counting.
Yes.
It's been a little while since we've been on.
Yeah, it was beginning of February. It was Echo. Echo.
Echo. Echo. Echo. Echo. There we go.
Yeah, we had a bit of a show hole.
Yeah.
And then Bad Batch kicked off and I was on vacation. And trying to get our schedules back in sync was a little bit of an issue, but.
And 7 episodes in Bad Batch later, we are here. Finally.
Well,
but to be fair, yes. There was what, like 5 episodes that dropped that, well, the 3 episode premiere and then 2 this past Wednesday.
Yeah, 3.
So to be fair, it hasn't been like 7 weeks.
Right. So. 3 was the week I left, and then it was 2 weeks in a row, 4, 5, and then a double. So,
yeah. So we got some stuff to catch up on, and that will be the focus of our episode later on, Bad Batch, starting season 3, Bad Batch. But we got some catching up to do.
Yes.
So, my partner in crime here, Hot Take Jake, I want to open this show, right? I want to open that, first of all, you celebrated your 10th birthday.
Oh, hell yeah, I did. Yes.
Yeah. So happy birthday. Why don't you,
thank you.
Why don't you explain, happy belated birthday. Why don't you explain to the folks who may be thinking like 10th birthday.
Yeah.
Wow, he's pretty, pretty young, that guy here.
Yeah, I'm
to be married and have a kid at 10 years old.
Married, but, having a kid, bald head, beard. And yeah, no, I was born on leap day. 1984, and just celebrated my 40th, which is my 10th leap day, being once every leap year being every 4 years. So so Vale, she went all out and planned a trip for my birthday. Where does a 10-year-old really want to be? Probably Disney. We went to Disney.
Probably. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
so
that's a good call.
So that was good. We got Van on his Slinky Dog roller coaster that he'd been dying to go on. He's finally tall enough. It's weird to think he's going to be 4 soon.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't believe that, but he's tall enough for that. So he got on that. Got a lot of really good pictures. I'm going to have to send some to you when I get them. You know, a photo album, a lot of the Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went through that and spent a little more time there than we did last time, which was good.
Nice.
Yeah, just had a really good time. The big thing was I was looking at getting a lightsaber.
You gotta, yeah. I was just gonna ask you when you were saying I was looking to get like a lightsaber. Obviously, yeah. You gotta get. How much is that?
So if you want to get a custom made, like you make it yourself, you have to make an appointment first of all. And those start out at $220 start out.
That's not too terrible.
No.
Like what I would think, yes, for this something Disney and something like that. Yes.
Now, if you want to get a movie replica.
Oh, okay.
Those are actually cheaper. Those were like 180. I think they were like 160, 180. And I mean,
so
they had
it's,
like.
But okay, so the movie replica is actually cheaper. Because the custom one, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, you can get all these like bells and whistles, and
okay,
I think
right,
they like
right,
balance yeah. them, and you know they're like for you.
Whereas the movie replica, you're just getting like you know a Mace Windu or Anakin, or just like a plain red or blue or whatever. Okay.
Well, no, right. they're like they're as close to what the movie uses as possible. Looking like they look like it, they're good quality. They give you the long plastic. The hard plastic, and it's not that retractable one, blade, so it's a lot sturdier. And okay. But yeah, they had them all. They had like Ahsoka's. They had her solo blade. They had her dual blades. Obviously, Darth Maul's dual lightsaber. They had Darth Maul's single saber. Dooku. What was the? They had Kanan. Kanan Jarrus. They had his.
Yeah.
That one I was eyeing up. But I was like, I'm going to put it on. What am I going to do with it? It's going to sit and be like, hey, look what I got. A lightsaber replica. You know, like, cool. But I had my eyes on something else.
That's true. What do you have your eyes on?
I got a Lego set.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You do. Yeah, do.
Yeah, and it's a big, it's the big castle.
Yes.
And it's the... they had like all the medieval knights and things like that back in the 80s. My cousins had those. I was always super, like super jealous. I wanted those so bad. They were so cool. Yeah. And when I saw this one, it was like, so I was between that and the Daily Bugle. And the Daily Bugle was big. And it's basically, it's just a skyscraper building. And it has probably like 26 different minifigures, and they're all like the Sinister Six, like the whole Rogues Gallery of Spider-Man, all his supporting characters. That I was like, this is really cool.
Okay. But
then I saw that castle, and it was like childhood nostalgia, favorite superhero. I'm like, ooh, what do I do?
Yeah.
And I went with the castle because, yeah.
Okay.
It's already built.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donovan's been playing with it with me, so that's been cool, but.
I think I would have to get a Maul, the Darth Maul blade. That's just, to me, that's just a no-brainer.
For me. Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And yeah, they had Ezra's, which I mean, okay. You know, because that was like, I'm thinking like Sabine. No, she used Ezra's. So they had Ezra's. I don't know if they had any of them. I didn't ask. Shoot. If they had any of them, what's her name? Shin or, why can't I think of his name? Ray Stevenson's character. Why can't I think of it?
Oh, freaking, damn it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
My blank mind, his, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, they look cool, but.
Well. I mean, speaking of childhood nostalgia.
Yes.
We've
been away Balin, for a while. Balin, so there's
Skull,
a lot.
Balin Skull, by the way. Ravens.
Thank Ray you. Stevenson. God.
Yes. But yes, yeah, speaking of childhood memories and dreams and everything like that. So we are recording this show. Today is the 15th of March.
Mm-hmm. Happy early St. Patrick's Day.
Yep. Probably within the last week, probably like 3 or 4 days ago. WWE. Now, we talk Marvel and Star Wars and everything like that, but lately we've been doing a lot of WWE because we've been to a few events, right?
You know, and within the last year. I will jump in and jump right back out and say that you said past 4 or 5 days, but this started probably a week before that because you were messaging me on vacation.
Yes. Because it was a rumor.
Yes.
It was a rumor at that.
Yes. I just wanted to make sure to point that out. So go ahead. Yeah. I'm getting messages like, oh, snap. I was like, what are you looking at? I'm like, oh, look. And she's like, oh, interesting. Now let's get back to what we're doing.
Yeah, it was a rumor at that point.
Yes.
But now it is official that WWE SummerSlam is coming to Cleveland this year, Saturday, August 3rd.
Yes.
At Cleveland Browns Stadium.
Excellent.
First of all, number one, quick side note, did the First Energy naming rights run out? They're calling it Cleveland Browns Stadium.
I think they decided. I don't know if the naming rights went out. I think they decided to go a different route.
Okay.
I'm gonna do a quick search on that.
Because I thought it was funny. I'm like, they're calling it Cleveland Browns Stadium. Like, is it not First Energy anymore? Did those naming rights run out? Or what happened with that deal. But anywho, that was just like a quick aside. But
after ending First Energy contract, they went to, the mutually.
So the contract is done.
Yeah, it said they're changing the name of the stadium after mutually agreeing with First Energy to end the company's naming rights deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought I was like something must have happened because they're calling it Cleveland Browns Stadium.
Yeah, I knew. So. I knew that was a thing. I remember when it happened because we were talking about it at work, a bunch of us. So I knew it was happening, but I just couldn't remember if it was specifically the contract ran out or if they decided to just go separate ways. So it sounds like it's like a combination of both.
Okay. All right. But yeah, SummerSlam, Saturday, August 3rd, Cleveland Browns Stadium, and we're in.
Yes.
We're not officially in because tickets haven't went on sale yet, but right. We're in. So
I'm not selling my firstborn, but we're going to get something.
So this is going to be super cool because this is a stadium
show,
which I have never been to a stadium wrestling show.
Right.
And it's SummerSlam, so if you are unfamiliar really with pro wrestling and WWE, like SummerSlam is one of the big four in terms of pay-per-views. So like the big four is WrestleMania. That's the big one. Mm-hmm. That's the big one, WrestleMania. Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. Okay. Those were the big historic four pay-per-views for WWE.
So I would have gotten WrestleMania and SummerSlam. And what was the third one? You said Survivor Series and...
Survivor Series and Royal Rumble.
I would have gotten Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam. I would not have gotten Survivor Series, if I had to guess.
I think, actually, Survivor Series is actually the second oldest out of the four.
No kidding.
WrestleMania was first.
Yeah.
I think Survivor Series was actually the second annual pay-per-view that they used to do because their rival in the 80s, Jim Crockett Promotions / WCW, they would run Starrcade, and Starrcade used to be in November.
Okay.
So they used to, all right, WWE, Vince McMahon, they were like, all right, let's start to do a Thanksgiving pay-per-view. That's what it was. That's what it started out as. It was the Thanksgiving day or night pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I think Survivor Series is actually the second oldest out of the four.
Yeah, I just sent you a clip that was from WrestleMania 3. I think it was Hogan.
That's probably Hogan, Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3. You could argue it's probably one of the top five biggest moments in WWE history. WrestleMania 3. Hulk and Andre.
It's funny to look back at Hogan and how when he'd come out with the mustache and the hair, just the hair, way his hair kind of hung, and then he'd get all sweaty, and that mustache would look like he'd go.
Yeah, when he would Hulk up, it's ridiculous. But he was over, man. That's what got him over in the 80s and made him like the star of the 80s.
Yeah.
But that WrestleMania 3 clip, so that stadium, that was the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And they had like 90,000. Well, I mean, you can dispute the numbers, but they had at least 80 to 85,000 people in that stadium.
Yeah.
And it's huge. So, like, a stadium show is different than an arena show.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's going to be, like, they're gonna put, like, depending on how the setup is going to be, they're going to put, 60 to 70,000 people in there.
Oh, yeah.
For SummerSlam. That's going to be freaking awesome.
I mean, that's basically going to be, like, bring binoculars or hope you got a good view of a screen.
Yeah, so like that's why I want to get a jump.
Serious cash.
I want to get a jump on these tickets because, like you just said, those prime seats are not going to be cheap.
No.
And I'm not shelling out a fortune. So I kind of want to get, I'm kind of want to get like the best of the realistic price, right. realistically priced seats.
Right.
Cause yeah, those freaking seats that are like 50 yard line or on the field seats are going to be stupid.
Oh yeah. Priced. Well, and, I mean, there's going to be so many people from Cleveland who are going to want to be there, but then you're going to have people coming from out of town.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of other people. Yes. Like I said, it's the big four.
Yeah.
So you're going to have people from all over the region, all over the country, yeah. all over the world that's coming
there. And not only that, you're going to have people who are going to get set up when tickets drop, who are going to buy them up, and they're going to sell them for giant inflation, like a giant inflation of the price.
Yeah. I was looking at freaking, I think it was StubHub.
Mm-hmm.
Like they already have seats on sale.
Jeez.
Before the tickets actually go on sale. So they probably already have that group all of tickets already allotted to them.
Oh, for sure.
So like, yeah, and they're ridiculously priced. I'm like, no, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's, you know what it is though? It's like that, like you walk past and go, no, I'm good. And they go, okay. And you keep walking and they go, you'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I know.
Just looking at those prices.
I know, but, I'm like, but then when everything's gone and you do come back, they're like, oh, hello again.
Well, I signed up for that link, yes. that I sent you. So I'll get the text message. Like they sent me one the day. And I'm like, here it comes. No, it's for tickets in July to a Toronto show.
Oh, okay.
So that's what they do. They get you on the mailing list and now they got you.
Yep.
Like that's their marketing campaign.
God, that's how they get you.
But yeah, whenever they officially go on sale, I'll get a text message.
Nice.
So, but that's going to be freaking phenomenal.
Oh, all right? Yeah.
You're going to have Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes going to be The Rock better be there, better. Damn it.
He better.
And I know they say he's filming a movie and everything, but like hey, that's done August 1st. So get your ass to SummerSlam.
I'm his candy ass.
You can't. Oh, yeah.
You know, as much as he's because it's funny, I follow him. I've been doing the Instagram a little more. I don't know if you noticed.
You have been, yes.
Yeah, I Val got me into it a little bit. A couple of my friends from work started sharing stuff, and now I'm like more Instagram than I am Facebook, which is weird, but I kind of like it. And I follow, because I think he has two profiles, because I think he has Dwayne Johnson, but then he has The Rock.
The Rock, that's really his main one.
Yeah, so, but he's been posting a lot, and you can tell when he's like, when he's doing things as Dwayne Johnson, when he's doing things as The Rock. Because when he's The Rock, he's got that ridiculous vest on and the sunglasses, and he's his personality. You can tell he's playing the character.
Yes.
And he's just talking about how wrestling is exciting again. Wrestling is fun again. Wrestling is big again. And because of who? Because of me. It's like, yeah, you're talking that game. You better be at SummerSlam.
Yes. You better. Yes. Better be at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And or I need to hear the glass break at SummerSlam.
Ooh. Can you, how are we going to do this? Make sure we get like a 3-seat buffer. Is that possible? Because their glass is going to break and they're going to be like, oh God, who's that guy just flying through the air?
I'm giving everybody stunners. If the glass breaks.
I'll sell it like Triple H, okay? Like, oh.
The Rock used to sell the stunner pretty well, too. Yeah. It was hilarious. Yes.
Well, you know, like McMahon
do,
would...
He used to do a backflip and
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll go all over the place. It was fun.
McMahon would always... He'd stunned, and then he'd flop over, and he'd do this, like, fish flop.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. But that's going to be a good deal. I started my SummerSlam 96. I went to SummerSlam 96. It was in the Gund Arena.
Oh, damn.
I remember, well, that was AKA it's Rocket Mortgage Arena nowadays, but the original name was Gund.
I remember the Gund.
Yep. And the Boiler Room Brawl between The Undertaker and Mankind.
Oh, yes.
That was the match of that event. And I was there for it. That was like The Undertaker died, you know. Mm-hmm. Paul Bearer hit him with the urn and like the Druids carried him out. I'm like,
yeah,
you're like, holy shit, The Undertaker died, bro. Like, yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
So that was my first and only SummerSlam when I was 10 years old. SummerSlam 96. And here we go. Yeah. SummerSlam 2024. So we're there.
Wow.
We are there. So yeah,
we're doing it.
So you're gonna hear about that, folks.
Yes.
As we go along throughout the podcast.
Yeah, we'll be giving updates as that happens.
Yeah. Speaking of events.
Yes.
Right. So when I sent you, when I made your birthday post.
Yes.
On your Facebook wall.
Which was excellent.
I used the one of the pictures from our Marvel movie marathon in Chicago.
Yeah, that was we did the marathon picture.
And that was the genesis of this show, by the way. We talked about that a lot. You know, you can go back to previous shows, but that Marvel movie marathon was kind of the genesis of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And we're approaching 5 years now. That was the year before COVID.
Yeah, because it was April 16th, maybe 2019. Because I remember it was pretty much spot on from being exactly a year before Donovan was born.
Yeah,
pretty close. Like it was really close to that, like that year. Because I remember, I think it was like the 27th or something like that. Yeah, because I remember he was born and we were kind of, you know, going through COVID and all that, and I got the alert on Facebook. I was like, oh, that was a year ago.
Yeah. 5 years almost. Look at that.
Yeah.
So that kind of got me to thinking. We got I don't know if you know. We got X-Men coming next week.
What?
So
no, I had no idea. That has spawned some really great memes. One of the best being, look what they did to my girl.
Yeah, that's bullshit, but you know, whatever. Whatever. Yeah.
That's not Rogue.
But you know, this is the next Marvel project. And there's been some things floating around online lately about We've talked several times on this show about how Marvel is kind of going the less is more approach, and which I think to a degree that's a good strategy. It's fair.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of hate. It's been a lot of hateration, as Mary J. Blige would say, out there. Yeah. See what I did there about Marvel and their movies and their shows.
I got that song stuck in my head. Thanks.
I mean, it's a good song.
It's definitely not a bad song.
It's not a, you know, you could have worse songs stuck in your head.
Yeah, please don't.
I saw something the other day about, I don't know if you saw this. I didn't send you this, but like, I guess they're not going to do, there's a rumor on the street. The rumor and innuendo is, they're shelving Eternals 2. They're not going to be doing that anymore. And, you know, there's a couple other projects that they shelved. Now, we've said that Eternals isn't our favorite Marvel movie by any stretch of the imagination.
Well,
but my question, my thought to you, and I'm going to let you kind of talk for a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Like, what? Yeah. Do you think that Marvel is responding too much to the social media hype or hate? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I will say, when you mentioned Eternals 2, you know, yeah, Eternals 2, Eternals wasn't that great. But I mean, like, Thor Dark World wasn't great either. Thor 1 was fine. Ragnarok was amazing. But, you know, Eternals 2 might have had a chance to actually be, you know, maybe actually have a flash of being doing something right, I guess. I don't know. That first one was just kind of weird. But do I think they're responding too much? I don't know. I think it's going to be a combination of things. I think there's been a lot of negative press around the how the designers and how the graphics teams and the creative teams have been treated, you know, with contracts and things like that. So it may be in their best interest to scale back. Mm-hmm. To take some pressure off of that, let them catch their breath, let them get situated. You know, they don't want to promise too much and then be like, oh, hey, we've got trailers and now we have to can them because we're in deep. So I think it could be part of that. Maybe responding a little bit to the hate in terms of like, let's scale back because there's all this, you know, superhero fatigue and things like that.
Like, I think, for example, right, the Marvels didn't really do that well.
Right.
The Marvels got, like, some pretty shitty comments and stuff like that, which I think, like, if you look at what a lot of people say, what we thought, like, that wasn't a bad movie. Like, the Marvels was pretty damn entertaining.
The movie was entertaining, and you know what? Yes. You know what else it did better than? I got three of them for you. Madam Web, Venom 2, and Morbius.
What? I mean,
you hear anybody giving so much hate to those? I mean, people talk about them being bad, but they're not bashing them like they are the Marvels or the Eternals, right?
I think that's Sony fatigue. Like,
sure. Yeah. I agree. But that's the funny thing. If there's really a problem with superhero fatigue or whatever, why aren't people crapping or hating on those as much as they are on things like the Marvels and She-Hulk and, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't think they're responding too much to that hate because I don't think they care. I mean, they went ahead with She-Hulk and totally threw a plot point of like, hey, look, all you haters out there, we are directly putting your face in the limelight. Like, this is you, okay? Like, in character form. So I don't think they care. They're Disney. They can do whatever the hell they want.
I'm starting to think if this superhero fatigue is actually a real thing. I'm trying to think about this. If it's really superhero fatigue or just people don't have the patience to do their homework.
Well,
because you can't, because the way Marvel, and this is maybe one, for lack of a better word, criticism that I might have about the MCU in its current state. It's hard. It's very difficult to bring in a new audience because it's hard to like start from, what's the next movie that's coming?
Deadpool.
It would be very difficult to start at Deadpool and Wolverine.
Would it be though?
I think if you're a casual fan, probably, because you would be like, what is this TVA thing that they're talking about?
Yeah, okay, I get that. You know but what I mean? You know
what? Like, and which is going to be central to the movie, obviously.
Yeah, but I think if you put enough lures out there, like you know, just and I don't want to say lures. I'm sorry, if you want to put enough breadcrumbs out there, there you go, breadcrumbs. You know, the internet, people can just go on. What's the TVA? Oh, okay, I know what the TVA is now. The internet is everyone's friend in this case.
Yes, but I think that
they're not going to enjoy it like we are.
I think the criticism is like you can't bring in a casual somebody who's not going to like for example, like if I go to see whatever the hell new movie that's out right now, mm-hmm. like I can't just go in that movie without having to go to the internet and
yeah,
I can just go in there and soak it in, understand it fully and enjoy it and leave. Like you can't. It's hard for a casual person to do that now with in the current state of the MCU.
Yeah.
I get that being
I've had some people ask me, hey, what should I watch before I see this? And I'm like, oh, shit.
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. And I think maybe that's what some people mean by superhero fatigue is that they have to do all of this background mm-hmm. in order to fully appreciate what's coming down the pipe.
So I will say at the same time, you look at this has never happened before in a cinematic fashion. Comic books have their runs. They start, they finish, you know, they go through so many issues and then they'll peel off and they'll go a different direction or something.
Right. There's always a reset.
You sure?
But you know, like X-Men, they're going to do another reset soon.
Oh, after the House of X and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. You've got resets like that, but I mean, when people talk MCU, they go, well, when Captain America did this back in, and it's like, okay, how many iterations of Captain America have there been with resets? Tons. And people are trying to compare it to the MCU. It's like the MCU, like we've talked about this, has to be basically considered a run of the comics that someone, you know, Marvel and Disney together were like, we're going to do a movie run, and this is our take on Marvel. You can't really compare it too much to what's going on in the comic books or what went on in the comic books. I mean, they're picking pieces together here and there, but, you know, it is just is what it is. Yeah, it's hard to for a casual fan to pick up, but, I mean, the people who are going to go see it are people who've been along with it for the long haul, like us. And so maybe, yeah, you're talking like if you're trying to grab new audience, new attention, it's going to be hard because they have to watch so much or read so much.
And I think that's what maybe people mean by superhero fatigue.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I think the thought sure. is.
I think that makes sense.
You know.
And I get it because it's, you know, it's tough because if you don't, like if we weren't doing this show, I mean, I'd still be keeping up because I can't help myself. But if it came down to it, like I missed a movie or I missed a show, like, oh, crap, that show came out. When did that come out? 2 months ago? I better go watch it. Movie's coming out next week. Shit, I got to catch up. It would be frustrating.
You're not going to wait 2 months for I appreciate the analogy, but you're not
going to. No, and of course I'm not. But, but if, you know.
I'll be like, you'll have an alert at your phone every day. Like, so when'd you see it? You watch it yet? Yeah. Or,
hey, that episode. What's going on? That episode came out 5 minutes ago. Did you watch it yet? But I don't think people know how to handle this because there hasn't been, there's so much content. So that's part of the fatigue too, is the quantity of content. It's hard to catch up with, but it's also there's so much. So pulling back a little bit, sure, makes sense, you know. But the hard thing then is you have so many characters now out there that when's the last time we saw Shang-Chi, his movie?
Since the movie, yeah.
What's he been doing? You know,
I don't know.
That's a long time to wait to see another character.
Yeah.
So they've introduced so many characters that you almost have to do a movie where it's like, okay, we're going to focus on I don't know. We're gonna focus on Deadpool, but maybe we should take like three or four of these guys and pepper them in there. And you know, yeah, you got movie contracts and things like that. But if you don't use them, it's like you're gonna bring up Shang-Chi again and be like, who the hell's that guy? Oh yeah, his movie was back in 2022. I don't know. You know, I think that's right. But you know what I mean? It's that's part of it too, is if you start to slow down and space things out and do less movies and less shows, now you're basically like, oh, all these characters we introduced, we're just gonna have to say screw it. We don't even know what to do with them.
Well, like, yeah, that's what
they painted themselves into a corner.
They have. I didn't just what I was saying with the Eternals. Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, there's this big head in the ocean that I guess they're just gonna
pretend like it didn't happen. Did it get snapped?
that they're just gonna have to ignore, or I hope that Deadpool. I hope they like make fun of that.
That would be badass.
That would be awesome.
He's just like, he's sitting on his eating breakfast or something. Best view in the Indian Ocean or wherever the hell it's at. I don't even know where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that would be the perfect place to address it and leave it if that's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, you know what though? So when that happened, let me see. I'm trying to remember timeline wise, the snap happened before that.
Yes.
So this, because Eternals happened after Endgame, so everyone had come back, and that's what triggered the awakening, right?
Is that
what it was? Was the awakening triggered when the snap happened because life had gone down so much? I'm trying to remember now. Or had it happened like the snap happened, half of the life of the universe went away, and then it came back, and there was a huge influx back. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Cause I was going to say, it'd be funny if they explained it away like, yeah, you know, the snap happened and well, you know, that was part of half of the universe. That head just disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah. You can't just,
hopefully
you can't just have like a giant head starting to hatch out of the earth. All of a sudden, like, holy crap, that's destroying the planet. Oh, they stopped it. Hey, are we gonna talk about that over there?
Yeah.
No, it's just an island that formed. It's an island. And just magically formed, and magic happens, right? Come on, Dr. Strange, right?
Yeah, they're gonna have to figure something out, I would think.
Yeah.
If they're not gonna do anything with the Eternals.
Yeah, you know. I started to get excited when I saw, you know, new characters popping up, new movies, like, oh wow, we're gonna have a new character, you know, like Blade being one of them, like, cool, we're gonna introduce Blade. And I'm almost at the point now where let's just work with what we have. Stop trying to jam every Marvel character in the catalog into the movie form.
Well, maybe that's what they're thinking now. Like, all right, let's hit the pause button for a little bit.
And you know what would be a perfect opportunity is you get to Secret Wars and you can kill a bunch of them off.
Yeah.
Legit. I'm going to be the Thanos of the MCU outside of the MCU. Just snap. Let's cut it in half.
Yeah,
might do them well.
Just leave the mutant. Like, that would be good for me. you can just leave the mutants and, you know, Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Punisher.
Right.
You know, my street level people. And
yeah, that's...
And Fantastic Four, and we're good to go.
I think the other thing, too. So now you've got Fantastic Four, X-Men, Avengers, Young Avengers, Dark Avengers, Thunderbolts, Midnight Suns. Am I forgetting anything? You got those.
Oh, you probably are, yes.
But like, and then you got like the TVA kind of thing going on. You've got all these things going on. And it's like, congratulations, you've introduced this all. How the hell are you going to manage it? Because you almost have to get away from doing individual movies. You've almost got to make them all Avengers level, because otherwise the characters you have, like, you're going to, the next time we see Kamala Khan, she's going to be like 25. I'm like, oh, how'd you age so fast? Well, in universe, I'm still 16,
They can figure it out,
I guess. That's another thing, because people aren't around forever. Like, sadly, look at Chadwick Boseman. You know?
Yeah. Fantastic Four, that's an easy, like, they're going to be set in the 60s. So they're before, like, all the Avengers and everything like that.
Casting's
but, like,
good.
But then, like, you know, are they, do we get them in the current universe, or do they stay in the 60s for their stuff? Which I would not be totally opposed to that. If they do, like, because, like, in Captain America,
it's going to be WandaVision.
We went from the 40s. He went in the ice, and now we're in current stuff.
Yeah.
So if Fantastic Four were to stay set, like, their trilogy, for example, of movies, were stay set in that time, I mean, I wouldn't be totally opposed to that.
I think we may get a case where they set that movie, they do their thing, and then they get, like, some kind of time warp where they're, like, sucked out into space, and then they come back in the current time. Something like that. I could see that happening. Yeah. I like the casting choices. I like Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards. I'm in the minority here, but I've never really been a fan of Mr. Fantastic. Never really have. He just always comes off as kind of pompous and, I don't know.
Well, we'll see how they.
And
I don't see how you can not like Pedro Pascal.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say.
Any character that he's going to play.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, casting him, cool. I like the guy, so that's going to make me, I think, like the character more. Because I've just never really been a fan of the character. I don't know too much about Vanessa Kirby, but I think from what I had seen, looks like she's going to be good for Sue Storm. I can't think of his last name. He was in Stranger Things, who's going to be Johnny Storm. He was really good in Stranger Things as his character Eddie. So cool. I'm looking forward to that. And I don't remember the guy's name now for the thing, but you know what they did? They didn't cast someone who physically looks like the thing. Like, they had Michael Chiklis. They're like, cool, we got Michael Chiklis. He's got the body shape of the thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they didn't do that this time. And the guy they picked actually had been in Punisher. Was he in the Punisher show? I think it was, or Daredevil.
Yeah, he was.
He had a character role in one of those.
Ebon Moss Baccarat.
Yeah. And I was watching some clips of his, because I was watching something that had, like, it kind of showed each of the characters and who's cast, and watching his, like, how he acts, I was like, oh, cool. He seems to kind of play a wide range of characters, so he could really bring a different spin on the thing in terms of, like, he just doesn't physically look like the thing, which is cool.
Yeah.
He seemed like he might have the range for the I Am Groot kind of, not that he would be I Am Groot, Grooting it, you know, but like Vin Diesel just and Bradley Cooper, they just voiced a CGI character. Maybe he'll get to do some of the motion capture and get to voice some, you know, I think it looks good.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
So there's also a rumor of Henry Cavill being cast as an MCU character.
I think he probably is. It's just a matter of who.
Yeah, I think it's confirmed that he is.
There's too many breadcrumbs out there. So yeah, he's probably in the MCU. It's just a matter of who.
The thing that I was hoping for most was Captain Britain.
Yeah.
I think he'd be perfect. I saw Cyclops and I got excited about that because nothing against James Marsden, but good Lord, put somebody in who can you look at and you're like, respect on the character, because I am not going to look at Henry Cavill and be like, what a wuss. Not, no, it's going to be like, dude, Cyclops it up. Let's go. I think he'd be great for that role.
Cyclops did not have a great run in the Fox.
He was a punching bag.
Version of the X-Men.
He was one-dimensional, very whiny, very much just a foil for Wolverine.
I was going to say he was triangle. More of a detriment to the team
than
the leader that he was supposed to be.
He's supposed to be the leader of the X-Men. Like him, Professor X, and Storm are the big...
Which it looks like... X-Men 97, which starts Wednesday, by the way, if you didn't know.
Me, my X-Men.
he's picking up that role, Cyclops, as the leader.
Is he, though? Not according to the last bit of that trailer.
I mean, listen. It's going to be... I'm excited about it.
How many holes do you have in your place right now?
So, I looked at my day Wednesday, and I'm like, shit, I got to drive to Westlake on Wednesday for a meeting, an all-leadership meeting, regional meeting on Wednesday. Then I got a coach Wednesday night. I'm going to start to make some... requests here, like, hey, who wants to work on Wednesday?
Well, so here's what you gotta do. that meeting from Wednesday that you gotta drive out to Westlake for.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't make it to the meeting in person. I've got a coach later, and I'm gotta keep my voice intact, so I'm gonna call in mute X-Men. Telling you, there's your plan for you.
Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, I'm at the hospital. I think I got COVID. And then they hear,
yeah, I was just gonna say, they hear the theme in the background.
Like, are you watching X-Men in the hospital? No. Yeah.
I'm sick, doesn't mean I can't do something. Got nothing to do but watch TV.
Yeah.
And we'll have a Bad Batch too, so.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's right. Oh.
Is it a single episode premiere for X-Men?
I'm kind of embarrassed to know this. I was about to say I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I don't.
I'm embarrassed. I'm not
sure that answer. Let me throw that in the old Google machine. Real quick.
Yeah.
And
I think we're gonna have to talk about that. Are we gonna run the X-Men show on here? I mean, you're gonna be running that because I didn't watch the show growing up and haven't yet. So I think I'm just gonna dive into this one blind. Maybe do some homework. Of course, do some homework. Who am I kidding?
I can't. March 20th will also play host to a double episode premiere. Shit. All right, I got to think of my excuse for work now.
Yeah.
It's Saturday. It's Friday night we're recording this, so I got like 3 days. To figure out.
That's funny.
Yeah, that and Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be about 90 minutes of content. That's awesome. All right. There we go.
Yeah, that's about right. Speaking of 90 minutes of content, we're gonna be going about 90 minutes of content of just Bad Batch. Speaking of Bad Batch, because we haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, we might as well get to our focus of the show. Well, allegedly, the focus of the show.
Yeah,
Bad Batch,
Bad Batch.
season number three, the final season.
Yeah, I'm curious.
And you know, we're not gonna, I mean, obviously, at this point, we are seven episodes in.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna do like an episode by episode kind of recap.
No.
But you know, we'll have some thoughts about some things and
Well, the
how the season is going and everything like that.
I think the
Because we're
only,
about halfway through the season.
yeah, I think the only recap we need to do is leading into season two as we're talking about things. And I have that in a very brief sentence, I suppose. Let's
Okay.
see what you think. Omega was taken. Tech fell. Crosshair got imprisoned. Saw Gerrera effed it all up. Hunter and Wrecker are off on their own. That's kind of where we
That
left it.
pretty much sums it up,
Yeah.
yes.
Especially Saw Gerrera effing everything straight to hell.
Yes, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you're listening right now, I hope you've watched it.
So,
Otherwise, you're not going to be needing to.
yeah.
But we've seen some interesting things.
Well, here are my overall general thoughts
All right.
so far, season three. I think, and I told you this the other day, when the, I guess at this point, it was the mid. So it seems like they're going to do, and we said this at the top before this season started, they're doing like several episodes. To as the markers, we had a three episode premiere, two episode mid season, and I think it's like two or three episodes at the end that we get straight.
Yeah.
And I like the build that they're doing of the story. So we're in a place in the Star Wars timeline, like, okay, this is the beginning of the Empire. We kind of know what's going to happen in the overall Star Wars timeline.
Sure.
So we kind of know where they're going. I think for the most part,
Yeah, but
we're getting.
I think the good thing is we're seeing kind of like how Clone Wars did it between two movies, you got to see what went on.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
now we're
That's it.
seeing, okay, because most of what we knew about Star Wars canon and canon was Darth Vader was quote unquote born. So are the kids. And then all of a sudden, Luke's on Tatooine. And the in-between has kind of been played out in has been played out in comic books for Darth Vader, with Dr. Aphra, things like that. They had the Obi-Wan series that came out, but before that, I mean, you had comic books, you had games, you had things like that. But nothing had been like, hey, we're gonna make this canon and actually tell you what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we're getting right now through Dave Filoni. I'm giving him
Yeah. I
the
think
blessing hands.
we're overall we're getting the build of explaining the transition of the Empire slash fall of the Empire to the First Order. We're getting a big part of that build and explanation, and we're getting the We're getting we're getting the answers through Bad Batch as to somehow Palpatine has returned.
Well, and they brought back the M count.
Yeah.
Calling it an M count, we know what that M count means. They
Well,
almost said
at
it
least.
too, because Omega's like, What is M count? I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's midichlorians.
So we're it seems like we're getting that explanation as to how Palpatine returned.
Yeah.
And two, with this whole M count thing and everything like that, it's pretty cool because Project Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
Where they went to where the Emperor visits Hemlock and they go into that creepy room that looks like a crypt of bodies, I think. We don't see it
right
in the episode, but you can kind of, I mean, if you can kind of deduce the word necromancer and you see like these casket looking things.
Yeah, they're,
or these pods.
They're playing around with the dead.
You can probably figure out what's going right. on. I mean, it doesn't take, it's not that big of a leap to figure that out. And which is cool because I think that also we get reminded as to why Grogu was so coveted by those remnants of the Empire.
Right.
In Mando. Because Project Necromancer is still probably continuing.
Yeah.
But we're just seeing the beginning of that project in Bad Batch.
Well, beginning or... I feel like this is a project that's been going on.
Or it's maybe not the beginning.
Intention of the Emperor.
We're seeing.
They're getting it. Their funding.
Yes. Yeah, so, we're seeing... This is the beginning of us seeing it.
So I have a... hot take for you.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna lay it right here for you.
Oh boy.
So
here we go.
Let's talk this through real
quick. Is this the one that you wanted to tell me the other day and I told you to wait?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't spill the beans right then and there.
Yes, this is the
one. I thought for sure you were just gonna like ignore me or like 5 minutes later just say it, but you didn't, to your credit. So
I held.
Yes.
So here we go. And it's been brewing and kind of the what I'm thinking has been growing kind of even as we've been talking right now. So what I think is, so this project's been going on, this Necromancer. I think it's been going on longer than we think. And it's only getting finally the backing and growth that it is because the Emperor's like, yes, like I want in on this. And I think Hemlock's like, sure, yeah, well, I'm doing this for you, buddy. I think Hemlock is a clone. And I think Hemlock knows his time is short. And he's trying to find a way to extend his life with some longevity. And it just so happens the Emperor wants the same thing.
That's kind of like a double pump fake in reverse, kind of.
Yeah.
That this is the Emperor's thing, but no, this is really Hemlock's thing. That he, what he wants. And the Emperor's just a tag along.
No.
Oh, yeah, you want, yeah, you, yeah, you're going to the mall. Oh, yeah, I figure I want to go to the mall.
Yeah,
too.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, let me just car.
I was heading there anyway.
All right.
And take your car. Hmm. Sounds great. More. Hmm. So the thing that really got me with this is I started noticing when they'd show Hemlock, he'd flex his hand and kind of grab the wrist and kind of look at it. And you could tell something was going on. It was shaking a little bit. And you start to see that from the clones, especially Crosshair.
Crosshair, yeah.
But from other clones who are maybe older, starting to like they're starting to lose something. You know, maybe they're starting to lose some of their faculties. So
you're thinking like, yeah, you know, man, let me figure this out. And then old Emperor Palpatine, he walked into office one day and saw him like working on that.
Yeah.
He's like, good. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh,
the plan is going as like as if.
Yeah. It's just as your research is going. It's just as I foreseen it.
Right.
he said one of those deals and then said, oh, Hemlock, you know, oh, yeah, let me get on that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh.
So I, you know what I wonder too, well, I better look into this first before I say it, because I don't want to be an idiot.
Uh-oh.
But it's just interesting. We don't know too much about Hemlock, but I saw him do that, and I was like, I did that sit forward and point thing, like, oh, wait a minute. Crosshair does that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't, you can't really say no that that's not the case, because it's still along the Emperor's goals and what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Right. What if, and I just had this thought too. So this whole cloning thing, mm-hmm. Project Necromancer. He's looking for an M count, right? The M count, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. We can kind of safely assume, I would think, that M stands for midichlorians,
mm-hmm,
right? So what if, so before Disney got a hold to the Star Wars rights, there were the Legends novels. And in those Legends novels, the Emperor cloned Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. With his hand.
What if this is a way to introduce that storyline?
Interesting. Yeah.
Into Disney canon. Just throwing it out there.
And it would have to be done. Well, that could be something that happens. Around the timeline, you know, where they're doing Mando and things like that, because, well, no, that would be after. He would have had, let me see, when would he have gotten a hold of the hand? That's after Empire.
I mean, yeah, that's after Empire. So it would, I mean, theoretically, this could be this whole cloning Luke, cloning the Emperor. So the whole cloning Luke thing could have been in the works already before Mando.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on where they go in this, let's just saying they do this. Depending on where they go with the storyline, maybe they started that route and then the Emperor gets thrown off by Darth Vader. Ah! You know?
So, oh my God.
And maybe they're like, oh, let's use this to maybe clone the Emperor. Hey, somehow Palpatine has returned, because they got to explain that.
My God.
But, so theoretically that project would have started before Mando, but maybe it could still be going on, and then maybe they shifted gears to, oh, we got to clone the Emperor now, because, you know, he got thrown off by Vader off the ship.
Okay.
You know,
unlimited so, power.
Just a thought. I'm not I'm not saying that that's the case, but that just kind of popped up in my head, like M count, everything. What if they could be trying to incorporate at least elements of the Legend storyline of cloning Luke?
Mm-hmm.
Since because this project is of greatest importance and all this other stuff that the Emperor says, maybe that's what he could be talking about. Because if you're up on the Vader comics, the Emperor was always looking for the next apprentice, yeah, like Vader's replacement.
He was always, not even his replacement. He was looking for people to replace him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he was never shy about. He was never. He was never shy about making that clear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Vader, like, you're here just because I don't have any body or anything better yet.
Right.
But I'm working on those things that are better than you.
Right.
He just kind of put it in his face. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, as soon as I get something better than you, Vader, you're done.
Yeah.
So.
You served your purpose.
Yes. But yeah, overall, I think that's where we're heading towards in this season, explaining somehow Palpatine has returned and explaining overall Project Necromancer. I think that's the overall goal of season three. But we are getting this build of a story between the clones.
Yeah. Well, because you never know what really happened to them after, you know, the Clone Wars, the ones that, because you obviously you see all of a sudden you go from clones to stormtroopers. So there's that taper off and that buildup of now stormtroopers, because they can't make the clones anymore. They can't decommission them. They're not robots. Yeah. You know, we can't just, you can try and dump them off, but they've got to live on somehow. So this is kind of that too. It shows like what happened to the clones after the Clone Wars.
Yes.
Where did they
go? Getting that, and we're getting the story. We're getting I guess this would be the final chapter in this family story of Clone Force 99.
Yeah.
Right. We start out with Omega and Crosshair being imprisoned on Tantus.
Yeah.
They eventually escape with Batcha. With Batcha. Batcha.
We need to save Batcha.
You know what? That first episode where she's feeding Batcher and she gives him the name Batcher. I'm like, oh, this thing is gonna be important. It has a name. Like episode one, I immediately said, oh, this thing has a name.
Yep.
So this thing is gonna stick around.
I was just waiting for Wrecker and Batcher to meet up, because I was like, these two are peas in a pod.
Yeah. And yeah, we see Crosshair having to deal with his lack of, or his degenerating abilities with his hand, you know, and how he's dealing with that. We're dealing with the reconciliation of Hunter, Wrecker, finally meeting back up with Crosshair. That scene, what was that? Was the last scene of episode
five,
like four or five? Yeah,
because five ended and rolled right into six.
One of the last scenes of those episodes where basically Omega and Crosshair, they make their escape.
Four to five.
And, you know, Omega's like, yeah, they're going to meet us at this rendezvous point. And, you know.
Yeah.
Hunter and
Echo.
Wrecker, they come up and, you know, like, oh, we knew you were alive and we never stopped looking. And Omega's like, oh, I had help. And then Crosshair walks out.
Yep.
That was a very powerful way to end that episode.
Sure.
I'm like, oh. All right, this is awesome.
And then you know what? And you go to the next episode and they didn't even pick up from right there. They just picked up from like, it was like a month later on the island. And he's out there, I am trying to practice my aim. And it's like, oh, you've been here for a while. Cool, you know.
Yeah. You know,
why don't you go talk to him, Hunter?
Wait a minute. Can you do that again?
Hunter, why didn't you go talk to him?
Okay, now I can't. I don't know if Wrecker's my favorite or Frank Castle from you.
Oh, dang. The jury's out.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we got this whole family dynamic thing going on too.
Yeah.
About Crosshair turned his back on us and we really don't trust him, but he helped Omega.
And you see his connection with Omega is different too now.
Yes.
Like just the way he was interacting with her, you could tell that Hauser was like, oh, okay, I see how you are with her. Maybe you are different.
Yes. And I think he gives that brilliant explanation, like, yeah, I'm a loyal dude, but the Empire basically did not return that loyalty.
Right.
And that was the change in him.
Yeah. So. And then there was that great quote of, they're traitors, perhaps, but they're clones. We owe them that.
Yes.
And that was an interesting point, too, because that goes back to the, you know, is this going to be a thing where are the clones going to start being like, hey, you know what? Forget these guys. We gotta link up with the other clones.
So how did we get there? I want to recap briefly how we got there. So
yeah,
basically, you know, Omega escapes and basically Hemlock figures out that Omega has the blood type needed for what he needs.
And Nala Say was screwing that up too.
Yeah, Nala Say, you know, was sandbagging, and basically Hemlock figured that out.
Yeah.
So Hemlock has these operatives, like this like secret legion of clones,
yeah,
who are just badasses, and they're on the hunt for Omega. And basically one of those operatives, which I'll have a hot take in a second, one of those operatives locates Omega and sends in the backup, sends in the team, because Hemlock says, I need Omega alive. And the backup team are clone troopers. So they were old clones. And basically at the end of the episode, you know, the clone troopers have the Bad Batch kind of cornered, basically, because Echo hasn't got there yet to save the day for the escape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got that, you know, Rex is like, hey, bro.
Bro.
Like
look at him, he's like, bro.
Bro, just do me this solid.
Yeah. You can't say bro without saying do me a solid. Like they go hand in hand.
Like, look, man, bro. We're brothers, right? We're all clones here. Yeah. We're all clones here.
Bro,
right?
We're bros.
Yeah, we're bros. Like, hey, let's just, we're fighting the same fight here. You know, let's just, you know, why don't you just let us get on the ship?
Yeah.
You know. And that's where that line comes. Like, yeah, they may be traitors, but they're clones.
Yeah.
We own that. So, you know. But yeah, that's where we kind of leave off. In those, the end of the last episode there.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Tex comeback.
Okay. All right. So
we talked about that because you were worried that they were going to kill off Crosshair right there.
I totally thought that they were going to kill off Crosshair.
And my comment back was, I said, no, they can't do that. He hasn't been reunited with Tech yet. I'll give you that like sly face. Like,
Yeah. Like, I totally thought they were going to kill off Crosshair because he just got done speaking with Hauser about, I think differently about the Empire now because they don't return the loyalty. And how he helped Omega and how he basically sacrificed himself for the good of the team. Like, hey, you guys go ahead. I'll take care of this operative. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to be like the whole full circle character development, but they ended by killing him off. And he basically saves the team by having enough of a distraction for that operative, even though it costed him his life.
Yeah.
I also thought it was total like Black Panther vibes, like when they have the fight scene between, you know, when they're like getting like the leader of the tribe, whenever they were fighting in that waterfall.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, damn, this is like Black Panther fight right here.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, you know, he was going to either drown him or throw him over the edge, you know, like in Black Panther, but you know, that didn't happen. But you said yes, that he hasn't been reunited with Tech yet. Now, before I lay this out here, I still think Tech is dead. I still think that he's dead.
I think when they eventually get back to Tantus, he's going to be the one to get him through all the nasty shit to get him to the base. But go ahead. That's where I think it's going to come in.
I think Tech is still dead. But I said, wouldn't that be like a total Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier type of swerve if Tech was the operative that's hunting them?
Yeah,
because he's not dead, because toward the end of that episode you see the operative kind of like and like shake it off. I'm like, of course he's not dead.
Sure. Yeah, like, oh, he fell off a waterfall. No, he's alive.
No,
anyone else would be dead.
And then I told you, like, that operative knew exactly where to shoot to set off chain reactions and to like destroy everything. And I said that you probably have to have a deeper understanding of how everything is set up and the way everything is operate and the way everything operates. Like, he knows that one particular, like, there was another operative that they already captured, and that was how they found them, because I guess they have some type of tracker that they aren't able to disable.
Right.
But Hemlock still has it. That operative wasn't as, I don't think, was as tech, if you will.
Yeah.
Savvy. Again, that one knew exactly where to shoot to, like, set off everything. Right.
I'm not sure how I fully feel about that. I mean, I like where you're going, and it gives me, like I said, it gives me that Tron Legacy vibes with Resnick, I think was the character's name, who ended up being Tron's best friend in the first movie. No, he was Tron in the first movie. That's what it was. He was Tron. And you know, he's masked. He's this, like, badass bad guy who's helping out the bad guys. And then you finally realize, oh, shit, that's him. So I got vibes like that when you said, oh, it's Tech. Oh, I got vibes like that. And I like those vibes.
To me, it was just straight Bucky Barnes.
It's
like almost the same thing. Yeah. Like, he falls off the, you know, he falls from the ship. Like, kind of a similar way that Bucky Barnes falls.
And
then, like, he comes back as, like, this badass secret soldier operative dude.
And the reason that this gave me Tron vibes is because in Tron Legacy, he has a similar, like, dark, full body, like, suit, head cover outfit. kind of like he does, like this operative has in Bad Batch. So that's where it came for me. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's same kind of the whole Bucky Barnes thing and the whole Tron. It's similar.
Like I said, I think that tech is dead again. But as we were talking, that was like the hot take that brewed in my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, wouldn't that be some shit?
Yeah, it would be some shit.
In this season.
I think, I think the running theory we have is you say Tech is dead, but if he's not, he's the operative. And I say Tech's not dead, and they'll see him on Tantus.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's fair. We got it laid out now. And wouldn't it be funny if we were both wrong?
I mean, that's...
It doesn't seem possible because it seems like the two most probable choices.
I mean, us both being wrong, that happens a lot. It does. So,
that's true.
The other thing I
had going in my brain, and that's why I said I had to look this up because I didn't want to go that route. I was trying to look up and see exactly what had happened regarding this character, but wouldn't that be a total Dave Filoni thing if he somehow brought us back to Clone 99? Even though they showed him die and they had the memorial for him way back in Clone Wars, wouldn't that be something?
Interesting.
If, you know, over all that time, he had that Bad Batch mutation, that if maybe Hemlock got his hands on him and used that to form these operatives.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was where my brain went. I could be 100% wrong, but I couldn't not let myself say it.
All right. We'll see.
Wouldn't that be something? That mask comes off and they're like, 99. Like, wow, what's going on? Wrecker's like, I don't know. I thought he died.
Goodness gracious.
I'm waiting. Like I said, when they reunite with him, I'm waiting for Wrecker to be like, ah, family, we're all back together.
Wow.
A little Fast and the Furious for you.
Wow. Wow.
Do you realize at the end of Guardians 3, when he said, I love you guys? Or that's what he said, right? Is that what we heard him say? Groot?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
He was basically saying, you're my family, because we could understand him. Vin Diesel got his Fast family line in the MCU.
Whatever.
Yeah. I know you're so happy about that.
Yeah. So, goodness gracious.
I couldn't resist.
And then somehow, we still got to fit Ventress in here.
Oh, shit, that's right.
And somehow, your boy Cad Bane appears too.
Yes.
So there's still a lot more
Cad
to go.
Cad Bane. Oh.
Gosh, can't wait for that text. Can't wait for that episode when phone starts blowing up.
Oh, it's the Bad Batch again. Omega, I think I remember you. You know, that's interesting though, because Cad Bane knows Boba.
Yeah.
Knows Alpha. Holy shit.
So yeah, somehow that's gonna all come into this season too.
Yeah, how the hell do you have that floating around in the freaking Star Wars universe and they're not gonna address it? You know, we know Alpha and Omega came from Jango.
I feel like they are gonna address
it. They better.
I mean, they may not meet, but I feel like it's going to be addressed a little bit.
Then more. You know what they need to do? They need to far fling it at the end of the last episode and have Omega walk in to Boba's Jabba's palace and be like, "Hello, brother," you know, something like that.
What'd you say to me?
I mean, I feel like that might need be to, something.
And they need to make Tamara Morrison put a wig on.
Yeah. I feel like that would be something that that they could say for the Mando movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah, they could do that. Wouldn't that be cool to see a really old Bad Batch?
Well, at that point,
it'd be really old.
I think at that point, they're probably dead.
Well, how old is Rex?
Because Rex was an old man. Rex was an old man in Rebels. That was when the Empire was still strong. Rex was an old man at that point.
Oh, because that's right. That was right before.
When did that happen?
When did Rebels happen? Timeline.
Rebels was still Empire.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember now. Was that?
And Ahsoka was like.
Post Empire.
She's probably like 20s to 30s. Where in Ahsoka / Mando, she's probably in her 40s.
Yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint that timeline because I'm trying to remember they ran into three clones.
Yeah.
In Rebels.
I mean, I can't pinpoint it exactly, but it's in the Empire.
Yeah.
I would say at that point, if we're in Book of Boba / Mando area, that those clones are probably dead. Or if they're still alive, they're not really viable candidates for any action anymore.
That's Rex, Wolf, and Gregor.
Yes.
And... yeah, when that's who that was, because he was talking to Gregor,
and those clones have that advanced aging factor,
right?
So they're probably dead at that point, but Omega and Boba don't
correct.
So Omega at that point would probably be like in her 20s or 30s, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, Rebels takes place between episodes 3 and 4, right before the Battle of Yavin. Okay. So yeah, they would be really old then.
Yeah.
Interesting. A lot of things to think about.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it took us a bit to get there, but back on the air, back in the mud.
Boom, we're back in the mud. That's right.
Alan, you got to listen to that track.
I am going to listen to that.
That's good,
all the way.
You're gonna have to mix that in on your classes. Maybe.
It's a good beat. That's a good song. It's a good tempo for class. I can tell.
That's a good push to All Out, I think. You gotta push and you gotta go right to an All Out. I think that'd be a good one for that. I would like it there.
Alright.
That'd be like slapping the treadmill, like, yeah, let's go.
All right, well, Orange Theory Nation, you heard it here first. Back in the mud, Bubba Sparks.
That's right.
The push to all out.
So. There you go.
So, okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now we have, in case you haven't heard, we have the mutants coming next week.
Wait, we do?
I think we're going to open, we should open the show with just the X-Men theme.
You'll have it ready. I know you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to, we're going to have mutants and Bad Batch. So we're going to have some packed shows the next couple weeks.
Yes.
So
stay tuned.
So be ready for that content.
I think our next episode, I'm gonna sit on mute for a little bit and let you do a massive victory lap.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds all right with me. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll talk to you next, which would be most likely X-Men 97 and the next Bad Batch. So, yeah, buddy. So, all right. Well, for Hawkeye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake. And
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.